Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast and A to Z Sports, joins us this morning. Kyle, man, there's a lot of stuff out there on this Kendall Lamb comments. Not that it really matters at this point, but he's playing for the Eagles now as their tackle or backup tackle. And so a lot of comments were made, and some people are saying, wait a second, he didn't say all those things. What do we know about what was said or not said? Not that it really matters.
So I just got done watching this morning an Instagram story from Kendall saying, I didn't say any of this, so I don't know where this is coming from. I actually do know where it came from. There is some... I want to call it a website, but it's either AI slop or intentionally misleading posts. As Larry Ogunjobi talking trash on Buffalo radio to about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and everybody wants to get out of this mess. There's another quote that exists on this quote unquote website, and I guess a couple of Dolphins new media individuals saw the story, didn't do the fact check, shared it out. It gets blown up over the course of the weekend, and all these aggregation accounts make graphics to post, and it gets spread all over the place like wildfire. Kendall Lamb didn't say any of this. Now, I think it's very clear when you look at what the Dolphins did this offseason, they have feel like they had some realigning for their team culture and how they go about their business. But it doesn't need to get so far as we're just making stories up for guys on the way out the door, but unfortunately, that's the way social media works these days, and you don't have to give back the dopamine you get when your impressions are blowing up on your phone because you shared something, regardless of whether it's true or not.
Well, on top of that, Mike's made it a point to try to fix the culture and, you know, a completely off different kind of off-season take here as far as team building and all those things, and open about it, and guys not being late and being there for OTAs and all those type of things. So I got to ask you, we had some interesting stuff that is true, and that's Tyreek Hill doing a lot of yapping as the ambassador.
Yep.
Going to bring what's the chance that Tyreek Hill said, I'm going to be with Jalen Ramsey next week, and I'm going to talk to him, and we're going to get this worked out and get he and Mike together in a room, and we're going to shake hands, and Jalen Ramsey is going to be a starting corner. Have we gone too far, or do you think Tyreek Hill could get that done?
Good luck, Tyreek. That'd be what I say on that front. And if you pull that one off, I'll tip the cap to you. More power to you. But it certainly seems like the ship has sailed on both ends on that relationship. And you know, you put a microphone, live mic in front of Tyreek, you never know what you're going to get. And he certainly didn't disappoint, because here we are on a Tuesday, couple days later, talking about Tyreek. So,
well, I got to tell you, in fairness to Tyreek, Kyle, the thing that impressed me the most is a guy leaves minicamp and the next day runs a 10-100 meters. When I heard that, I stood up and started clapping. Everybody goes, why are you clapping? I go, I just read Tyreek Hill ran a 10-1. Are you kidding me? He's still the fastest man in football. I thought he lost a little something last year. He must have been injured, because there were a few times down the sideline he didn't get the separation that we're used to seeing. And I'm not saying other guys can't run, but usually when that ball's in the air, he's got a different gear. And if he's running 10-1, I can't imagine anybody in football can run like that.
Well, and Joe, he also said at OTAs he's down about 15 pounds. He's down to his playing weight in Kansas City, which is like 183, 185. And he said when he got traded to Miami, he was weighing 197. So that'll certainly help you get an extra gear back in your step. The question is, does that weight stay off for football season? Does that weight stay off because you were running to run a track meet, or did the weight stay off because you're trying to get your explosive gear back on the football field? I think if he stays down and weight a little bit, it would probably help him with some of that juice that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting where the first two seasons he's in Miami, he gets 170 targets, right? So you probably need a little bit more of the body armor. If they're going to be more balanced on offense, if he's not going to be a 170 target guy, but he's going to be a 120 target guy, hypothetically, I think maybe playing at that Kansas City playing weight would probably be beneficial for him and would probably have a better product at this stage in his career.
So I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you about that. I was just looking, like I know you've been looking at the skill set and how talented they are with Tyreek on one side, Jalen on the other, Malik and Nick backing those guys up. And then on top of it, Achan and Jonnu Smith, you start looking. We're talking about a whole bunch of guys got spread out with the football, which is, you know, if you were just to look at the numbers, you're going, all right, not bad. But we were so strong with Jalen Waddle, who had 58 catches last year, a big drop-off for him. And Tyreek's numbers, like, way off of his numbers. So how do we go about this with Jonnu Smith now? We know, and I'm guessing Tua is going to have even more confidence in him this year to get him involved even earlier in the year, not so many receptions late in the year.
Yeah.
And then Achan on top of it is a really good receiver with 78 receptions. It seems to me it's going to be more balanced to keep more people involved.
Yeah, and I think you don't have to look any further than the team that's been winning the AFC East a whole bunch in recent years in Buffalo, and they moved on from Stephon Diggs. And the mantra that they had going into last season was everybody eats, and they aspire to be this very – balanced, not target volume driven offense, but we're going to call a play. We're going to trust our guys because we have skill players that we think can win. And then we're going to trust the quarterback to make the right decision with the football and take it based on defensive coverage and the route leverage. What's the right read to disperse the ball? And then whatever a team gives you on a given week is where you're going to find your completions. And it led to Josh Allen obviously winning the MVP and being the most efficient version of himself as he's ever been, and kind of the Tyreek Hill 2K race. And obviously that prompts you to feel obligated to feed him the football at times. If that mentality can seep into this skill group and it can be more about being balanced and then just taking what is available and what is given, and then you can be more balanced, not just passing the ball and you're using your screen game to run the ball, but also just organically running the football. I think they can be pretty balanced, and it's going to be dictated on how teams choose to play you, who catches the football.
Right. Hey, I want to ask you about the depth at the running back position. We know about Achan, and then you got basically three backs that are a lot bigger guys. I think Jalen Wright, I know they're really excited about how he played in camp so far in the OTAs and stuff, but I know some of it made bad reads outside and didn't follow blocks the right way. Some of it, he just got hit when he got the ball handed off to him in the backfield and had no chance. But how do you feel about this group? Who end up being the second guy, in your opinion, with the most carries?
I think it'll be Jalen, and I think he'll crack triple-digit carries this year would be my expectation, would be my prediction for that. Because I think that way it allows you to use Devon and his explosive elements and what he can do in the passing game. And the Dolphins have been at times a really good team with two backs, not a fullback, but two running backs on the field, with one of them being Devon Achane and the other one being Raheem Mostert over the last 2 years. So I think trying to get some of that back and using Devon at times as whether he's a pass catcher or he's the ball carrier or he's the eye candy to pull your linebackers, to create a crease, to run in between the tackles. That's kind of how I see that other back being involved, and I do expect it to be Jalen Wright because I think he's got the best blend of all the skills. And then between Madison and Ollie Gordon, it's between which one of you two guys can consistently convert in those got-to-have-it short yardage situations and run through tough piles and push the pile and fall forward and convert. And I think Ollie can be more than that long term, but I think that's where you see the immediate opportunity that exists because both he and Alex are even more dense than Jalen is.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The one thing I really like about this team is the talent they have in the skill positions with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. Both, I think, have something to prove. I think they're both going to be motivated. Jalen got to be the number one guy this offseason, so he got a lot more time with Tua. Jonnu Smith now is, once they get things worked out, and hopefully they do, and then even the backup situation. But I like their skill set. Gives you a chance to score a lot of points. You like the group coming back?
Yeah, I think it's an area where they, as of right now, have all of the pillar players that were kind of the identifying pieces, and you know what you have with those guys. And it really felt like the ancillary players that they brought in, the Nick Westbrook-Ikines, the Pharaoh Browns, the Madisons and Ollie Gordons, it was about recalibrating some of the little things and getting more complementary skill sets to be more balanced and interchange those identifying pieces with players who can allow you to execute more than just if you're going to pass the ball and it's Hill, Waddle, Odell at one point last year, Jonnu Smith and Devon Achane as your five skill guys, you're probably not running the ball, right? Like if those five guys are on the field at the same time, you're not going to run the football. So I think having that amount of guys that, hey, we can feature this guy or we can put this guy as the early progression, and then having other players now that you can interchange around it to be more balanced, I think is how I see the picture of what they're trying to achieve this offseason with the skill group in particular playing out.
All right, so we agree, and I'm with you, Jalen Ramsey still – no matter what Tyreek tries to do, he's not going to be here. I think most people feel that way. We also know Jaire Alexander is going to be playing for the Ravens. So all the rest of those guys are still out there. those guys are going to be looking for a job here the next few weeks, right? I'm guessing they all want to be in camp to start and realize that you got to get in some kind of football shape so you don't get hurt, or teams are aware of that. Is there a front runner that you still like? Is it Asante Samuel or somebody else?
What's interesting on this whole backlog that exists with Jaire is obviously was a late addition to the pile and goes with his college teammate Lamar and signs there. I think it was Jeremy Fowler for ESPN reported over the weekend that like the next league domino that everybody's waiting to drop is Jalen Ramsey. So it's like with Miami, with the Jonnu Smith situation, and Miami with who they signed to replace Jalen Ramsey and the rest of these corners waiting to figure out what landing spots are most interesting. It really is interesting how much really is going to pivot off of how much does Miami have to pay to get an asset that they like to make the move for Jalen Ramsey, because if they didn't have to do that, this deal would have been done a long time ago. But as far as the market of guys that are still out there, the one guy that we know has been reported had a visit and an offer was Rasul Douglas, most recently with Buffalo and Green Bay before that. And knowing that interest existed, I think I would probably just lean into that, and that would be my pick at this point in time as compared to Asante as another young guy with a medical risk. Where if you go with the veteran player, you got a lot of young guys in the room, it might benefit you from having a guy as an outside corner who has experience. And not to say Asante Samuel Jr. couldn't bring that, but he's the kind of player that, you know, if he stays healthy and has a strong bounce back, could be a long-term answer for somebody. I don't know if the Dolphins are going to play in that end of the pool for the finances that it might require to secure a guy like that or not. I'm not sure.
I am really curious when this thing starts up. You want to see, and there's a whole bunch of different parts of this team to keep everybody busy, especially you doing this for a living every day as well. But I'm really curious about Cam Smith to see if he can really be, because this got to be his last shot, to see if he can be an every down player. And another guy that's been a great teaser down here is Ethan Bonner, who looks great in camp, great reports. All the guys, all the receivers, all this dude can play. He's gotten so much better. He's fast. And then we get in games when guys go down, and they put a lot of people, special teams, cornerbacks, seem to bounce ahead of them getting snaps.
Yep.
I'm really curious to see if they get over the top and give him more opportunities to actually be a starter this year and get quality snaps.
Yeah, and it's not lost on you. Go back to 23, and he was the guy that got the chance ahead of Cam Smith. And I think what is interesting is they have a lot of names that I would be really excited about being potentially your fourth or fifth corner. How does that room shake out so that those guys get in those spots? And then the guys that don't win that head-to-head battle, whether it's Cam Smith on a rookie contract as a former day two draft choice, or some of the other intriguing players like Storm Duck, like, you can't keep them all. So on one hand, you're going to probably move on from a guy that you think has some potential to be a good player, but you just have a logjam of kind of the bottom half of cornerback room type of players right now based off what we currently know about who they are as players. So that competition is going to be really intense, and we'll probably get the cuts, and there's probably going to be a player that you're like, dang, I wish we could have kept on to him. But it's just the nature of having too many players that kind of are on the same career pathway right now, if you will.
Kyle, the other question I have, and it's one of these besides Jalen Ramsey, you got two guys. Listen, I don't want anybody watching practice, especially quality players like Jonnu and Zach. Two really good players, two of your best four or five players on your team last year. And I get they want extensions. I think they're going to be hurt a little bit by what happened last year with all those extensions. Absolutely none of them worked out to what we thought we were going to get. None of them. So I'm wondering, over the top of Chris Greer's head, somebody's got to sign off on those deals. What do you think's out there for those two? You need them both. I want them happy, and I want them at practice day one, ready to go in every drill. So what do you do?
It really is tough. And I think that's where the Ramsey situation comes in, where you're going to be offloading some cash. Now, you're not going to probably be offloading cap savings, but you can restructure a couple contracts and get whatever you'd lose by moving on from Ramsey if you have to eat some salary to get a trade done. But you're going to be off. Ramsey is $21 million in cash that he's owed. You're perceived to be signing a replacement player. You're perceived to be eating some of that $21 million to get rid of Ramsey. What's left over after those two things happen?
Yeah.
Because that, I think, is the most probable source, because then you'd be adding no extra cash burn, at least for this year, to what you're currently scheduled to carry right now. So I think the Dolphins, that's what makes all of this so complex and tied together, and why I thought to mention the Jeremy Fowler, like the entire league waiting on this domino to fall. It includes the Dolphins in internally handling their own business, I think.
Yeah. Well, listen, a lot of teams are going through this. I know we're not the only ones, it seems like, and a lot of our fan base thinks we're the only ones going through all this.
Oh, every team's got somebody.
Yeah, somebody's not happy and threatening to either not show up or watch a lot of practices and do very few drills. So anyway, hey, as always, Kyle, really appreciate you coming on. A lot of good stuff. Really appreciate it.
Great catching up with you, Joe.
Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked on Fence podcast and A to Z Sports, and one of my favorite guys for sure. Hey, we got a lot more stuff to get to. Don't go away. We got some NBA stuff. Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us here in this 8 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk to him. Hey, are you feeling stuck on the sidelines right now? A little bit, guys? Anxiety, depression, maybe because some tough times you've been through in a relationship, job, something's just not going. And we go through it, man, through life. It happens. Maybe you're leaning a little too much on the booze right now. Every guy hits a rough patch. Even the pros. Recovery Unplugged in Fort Lauderdale helps you reset with real treatment for mental health and substance abuse. Expert doctors who have helped 19,000 people in 13 years, custom care, and so many great little things that they do in their programs to really help to help you get some success and get out of that funk. No judgment, just results. Most insurance is accepted. Time to call an Audible. Call 954-737-4508 or visit recoveryunplugged.com. That's Recovery Unplugged. Heal out loud.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.